If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Gerard Farrelly.
And I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And you're listening to Agony Rants. Welcome, listeners. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're joining us in Agony Rants Towers here in Pod One. At the Headstuff Podcast Network.
I know.
And we are here to solve your problems and to heal your life.
It's a happy day.
It is a happy day.
It's a happy day. I know. I mean, here we are, mid, you know, early June. Everything is lovely. I always think of Carousel this time of
year. I have had the most stressful week of my life.
Oh, for God's sake. Every week is your stressful
week.
No,
I'll tell you how my car died.
No.
Yeah.
You're beautiful. I love your wee car.
Yeah, dead. Dead as a doornail. I'll tell you what happened. Firstly, I was very responsible. What I did was...
Responsible or irresponsible?
No, responsible. Okay. Very responsible. I got into my car and the oil light came on when I was going out to do the 6 o'clock show. So I said, okay, well, I won't...
Look at you dropping that in there.
So, yeah.
Star stage and screen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the sort of thing you drop into a conversation.
I know. I was on it the week before.
I was on the 6 o'clock show.
I was on it with Daniel.
my thoughts were, I could just not do the 6 o'clock show. But I said, no, I'll do it. So what I did was I borrowed my boyfriend's car, right?
Okay.
Which he lent me. Not immediately.
Begrudgingly.
It wasn't his first suggestion.
Was it begrudgingly?
I went back upstairs and I said, the oil lights come on in my car. And he was like, oh, can you get a taxi? I was like, that's one of the things that I could do, but let's try again.
Ooh.
So anyway, he lent me his car. So I went, did 6 o'clock show, came home and I put oil in my car. So it was like oil topped up.
Yeah.
So the next day, I was doing something else. And when I pulled in to RTE, the light came on. Came on again. I was like, okay, there's something funny going on here. So did the interview. And my friend Niamh, who works in RTE.
Okay, yeah.
Another Niamh, also yes. With red hair.
Also sometimes, Niamh.
Sometimes when I have a couple of gin and tonics, I will send her a text and say that she should record more.
Is she confused by that?
She's still very confused. She wonders where I heard her version of Eddie Reader's joke. And I know she understands that she should release as a single, but she hasn't up to now.
I know.
It's very confusing.
If only she would.
So I said to her, instead of us going for a coffee, would you mind if I just dropped into a garage? So yeah. I just rang a garage. I was like, let's see what's happening. Let's go to a garage. So we drove down to a garage in Stillorgan and they had a look at my car and we sat on a bench. Now, actually, on a sidebar, I want to have a go at Niamh Hassel because I said, I think we might be getting sunburned here. It's very sunny. And she said, no, don't worry, you're grand. When I say I was roasted to a cinder, right?
Were you like a snake after shedding your skin?
Went bright red. Violent, like the colour of your microphone. Like
I know.
Violent.
Proper
blood red.
Proper.
For about 4 days.
Proper Irish man abroad red.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And while we were, you know,
was there baby oil
twisters,
involved?
No, you'd imagine there would be, like it stayed in me. But anyway, when we were eating our Tangle Twisters, this man came out and said, there's some very bad news. Your car, one of the injector things is gone. It's dead. That's it. Good luck. Goodbye.
They couldn't fix it.
No, he said, like, they're transferring it to, you know, it's been transferred by air ambulance to another garage. But he said, no, they won't be able to do anything with it. They're sending it there to have a look. But it was like, no, it's done. Dead. I'm very upset, Niamh. That was my midlife crisis car.
It's a gorgeous car.
It is a nice car.
And how long have you had it?
I've had it since 2015.
Yeah?
7 years. Now, it is a 2008 car.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's old. It is old. I've ridden it up and down that country.
What sort of mileage was on it?
I don't know. Actually, I have no idea what mileage is on it. I'd say it's about 250 or 260.
Yeah, it's done now. It's done its time. You can't make it do any more. So have you bought a new car? Is this
I'm not going to bother. I'm going to just...
You're going to get the scooter out?
No, I'll do until... I'll get one at the end of the summer, I think.
Are you going to just go make your supports do all the driving?
Now you're talking.
Oh, I'm just saying, when you were a support, you did a lot of the driving.
You're right. You're right. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a support act that will...
I'll drive you.
Drive. No.
I mean, I can't do the support slot.
It wouldn't work, Niamh.
Like, I can't do the support slot, but I'd make sure you eat right.
There'll be no apple green this evening. No. I think it's very confusing.
Yeah, it is.
Like my boyfriend was like, "Now you need to like get on it. Like it's a project. Buying a car is a project, and you have to, you know, start going into garages and start to get the look and feel of the car."
I'm sorry. It's never been a project because normally I drive a car till it dies, and then I have to have a car.
Yeah.
So that's what happens to me. My last car had 190,000 miles on it when I literally bought it with 3,000 miles on it in 2013. And drove it for 10 years. And 2 years of that was COVID.
So I
bought a new car in September and I have put 16,000 miles on it since September.
Oh, wow.
We do get attached to the ones that we
love. I know, I'm very attached because now I know I'm too old to have a Mini Cooper with a stripe on it.
No, you're not.
But...
No, you're not. You're only too old if you have to roll out of it. Do you have to roll out of it? Is it low on the ground?
It's actually very low. Yeah. And I think after that crash, because do you remember the crash was in Dubai? I do feel a bit slightly more vulnerable. Aware of the fact that my car is quite low.
So you're going for like a Land Rover next time?
Yeah. I want some something sort that of you can get a step ladder to get into. Yeah. So I'm doing that and I have to say it's very stressful because when you go to a garage, you're immediate. Mm. You're just like, oh, they're screwing me.
Yeah, no, I know, because you can't speak their language and you think they're already, they can see you coming from 20 paces. They know you know nothing about cars. And therefore, I mean, obviously we had that very famous time where the man told me the problem I had with my central lock-in was not a problem. It was just that it was a security thing for lady drivers.
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember that?
You didn't beat that man to death.
Well, no, I just let him, I put him on notice and I just said, how does it know there's a woman driving? So we just never went back then. Yeah, old fecker. Sorry. I hate that. It's very difficult because you want to be able to trust who you bring your car into.
And I do. I've always trusted the garage I went to, but it's the idea of buying a new car.
Yeah.
See, here's my problem as well, right? Because they haven't...
Can you buy new though?
No.
Never.
I'm too...
You don't care
I'm
enough.
An emotional driver. Do you know what I mean? Like, I am the sort of person that will cause an accident. Like, if I get upset, I drive... slightly faster than the show. It's not good.
Oh.
Yeah. So I just, when I broke up with my last boyfriend.
You've never driven me, actually.
Have I not? No, you always drive, actually.
I always drive. I'm so dominant.
When I broke up with my last boyfriend, I crashed into a pillar in the basement.
Oh.
Yeah. Like it's that sort of,
Yeah. Well, that's fair enough.
And even to be honest with you, this is just between ourselves. Of course, he doesn't listen to the podcast. But because I've been using my partner's car, he's been my space is closer to the apartment.
Oh, so he's using your space.
So we're using my parking space. But I'm so used to being in my car and swinging out. And I just know exactly, if I have the wheel
turn
this
much,
it's bigger. Yeah.
Oh, no. Well,
we've had a few. Oh, my God.
Near
misses.
Oh, my gosh. And underground car parks are rife of it.
All of a sudden, there's a pillar that you haven't seen for 15 years.
I always think as a driver... If you really want to know if you can drive, you either do one of those a roundabout with just more than five or six accesses into it, right?
Yeah.
Or a car park that was for old cars, not the big modern ones that are like
the tank. The Green Hills roundabout. Anytime I'm going out to TV3, when I hit the Green Hills roundabout,
that's
quite
a moment.
Here we go.
There's one on Sallynoggan
as well.
Let's
see how we get on.
You know, going up to the Sallynoggan, there's actually a hill start that is nearly vertical onto it.
Really?
And there's like seven or eight accesses onto it. It's mad. But I have the joy, now that you talk about cars, I bought my new car last September and my eldest son came home, obviously, as you know, and he is in the process of passing his test. And so he has been enjoying himself on my car.
On your car?
Uh-huh.
Niamh,
mm-hmm.
I would knock that on the head.
Well,
look, you can only mother them for so long. And I think getting them insured.
No, I didn't insure them.
No, but allowing them to use your car, Niamh, I think it's too much. Get them an electric scooter and see how he fares.
Well, the thing is, I keep showing him these old beat up cars that cost 300 quid. I said, there you go, buy that there. because I travel a lot, son. You know, it's not worth your while insuring. And I'm like, every time he goes out in it.
Does your husband have a car?
Yeah, but that's a whole tag at the moment because it's. We had a car last year, a Land Rover, because he pulls the trailer.
Of course.
Right?
For the gigs.
And then we stopped paying for it last November. And, you know, obviously the last car payment, you're thinking, yoo-hoo! And of course, it died that year, that month.
You see, this is the thing. This is my problem with garages.
Mm. So that's not been resolved yet. We have another car, which is also in getting fixed. So he now owns two cars, neither of which go. So I'm very calm about the situation.
I could say, Niamh.
Yeah. And,
you're bubbling like a cauldron.
I'm just waiting for that to be resolved because it's...
And how's that going?
Well... Put it this way, my car is on the road all the time now.
Okay, yeah.
And I've not been allowed to drive for the last 2 weeks.
We need to get you a nice one-bedroom apartment somewhere in Newry. And you can visit your old life. What way does that work insurance-wise now? Because I know I'm insured if I kill somebody and I'm insured if I crash into something.
What are you asking
me? I'm not insured for my car dying.
No. So what are you saying? You're going to run
anyone
it.
Anyone needs to burn
get it.
Get
it on
anyone
a top
can
of
burn out a car.
You're going to put it on the top of a hill and then let it run down?
Maybe.
Yeah, run it into a wall.
I mean.
You probably would have.
I'm insured for that.
Yeah, you would have been insured for that, but not because it's dead.
No. Can you not get insurance like phone insurance?
But probably what would have happened is you would have got about £50 for it.
And do you know what's killing me? Do you know what the most upsetting piece of this is, Niamh? Now, and I will need to be guided through this. I paid to have Bluetooth put in it. About a month ago.
Oh no.
Yeah. Because I thought, this is absolutely ridiculous. Like, I have a Bluetooth dongle and, you know.
Oh no.
I was like, this is ridiculous. And you have to plug that out to charge your phone and it's just a mess. So I was
you
like,
should have asked
garage.
Me about that before you did
just
it. You know that. You should have asked me.
Properly. Anyway, if there's anybody listening that works for a car garage and can like give me a steer.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Do you know what? When I went looking for cars and I'm talking to people, but people don't, they don't have conversations about it. It's really weird.
No, they don't.
It's very cryptic. And then where I buy my car is sometime, there's a guy Paul goes to as well, and they won't tell you how much the car costs. They'll tell you how much the finance costs.
This is what really annoys me.
And I go,
you go in and you're like, I've got 10 grand to spend on a car.
That's
and they're
your
like,
first
well,
mistake.
This is 15. I'm like,
yeah. No, but that's your first mistake. Don't tell them how much money you've got.
Okay.
Right? That's the first
mistake. Okay, so, okay.
Don't do that.
Okay.
Right?
So what do you go in and say what you're looking
for? In your head, say, this is how much I'm going to spend.
All right. Okay.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And be very clear. The thing is, they'll never tell you straight how much a thing costs. They'll say, that'll cost you £120 a month for 4 years. And you go, that's not.
Well, I don't.
How much is the car? You know, I had money to buy a car. That's what I did. I bought a car.
Niamh walked in. She had a hold all.
It was like a big wadge in my
full
hand.
Of money.
No, I did the tap with the phone.
What do you need? I want a Eurovision. I'm very liquid.
No, but you know what I mean? They won't tell you. They're not transparent. And the worst thing you can do if I walk in somewhere and the heckles are up on the back of my neck, if you take that deep in breath, you know that one...
I know. Do you know what?
Oh
well?
My God, and, I want to kill you.
And you know when you're looking at a car?
Yeah.
And you're like going, you know, yeah, like that, yeah. And you can feel them going, yeah, 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 that's a good car. Yeah, 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 yeah. And it never sounds sincere.
No, you're thinking to yourself, they can't wait to get that off the lot now.
Yeah.
You feel
like you've drawn the short straw and everybody else in the room knows, but you haven't.
I feel like I have a big window on me and they can see me coming for miles.
I know.
And then I get really cross about that. So then you're automatically on the defense when you go in.
And do you know what annoys me as well?
Oh, what else?
I went to one. What they do is they seem to like copy and paste all of the features. Like there was, and they just copied them into all of their cars.
Oh yeah,
that they advertised. So I went to see one, right?
Yeah.
And I wanted air conditioning, and he was like, "Yeah, it's a good car, yeah, yeah." And I was like, "Well, what I'm looking for is blah 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 blah." And he was like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, that has all that." And I was like, "Grand, grand." And then I was like. I'll just turn and check the air. Because you know, like sometimes air conditioning can be bad in the car. So I was like, I'll just try it. And he was like, I was like, this doesn't seem to have air conditioning. He was like, no, it does. Yeah, yeah, it's air conditioning. And then I was like, well, where's the air conditioning button? He goes, oh, maybe it doesn't. I was like, good luck. Good luck.
Good luck. You need to be clear about what you need. And you see, you and I, we spend a lot of time in our cars.
I need someone serving me that's not a bollocks.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Attention, Agony Rants listeners, I am on tour at the moment with Glamour Hammer. I am doing the last show of this leg of the tour on the 8th of June, and then I will be back from September of this year. And all of the tickets are on sale at garodeparody.com or through the bio link in my Instagram feed. And if it's there, it has tickets available. And I will be all around the country, and it will be going right through to January.
And it's so amazing.
Carlow, Kilkenny, another Vicar Street on the 16th of September. I'm also in Roscommon, Turles, all around the place.
Wow, that's quite a journey. I've seen the show. It's amazing. You will laugh a
thanks
lot.
Thanks so much, Niamh.
I know.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, you know.
Niamh will come and sing in your eyes sometime, won't you, Niamh?
Uh-huh.
Dead beyond your eyes. Another gay thing they're going to substitute.
There'll
their
be an
lack
invoice
of
in the
a
post.
Finale with my song. Get another damn thing.
The
coming.
Last time we did that on stage, you know, you kidnapped me for that. So we just said, we
it was very
be...
exciting.
It was very exciting.
Yell at the ball.
Yeah.
So, GarodeParody.com. Tickets on sale now. We are pausing for a moment to remind you that Agony Rants is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network. If you would like to support the show, we would love it if you would become a member of Headstuff Plus. For as little as €5 a month, you can
access all the extra bonus content all the shows.
Ours is best. The Headstuff Podcast Network is home to lots of wonderful shows, including the show that we are cross-promoting this week, which is For Tech's Sake.
Oh, I love this show.
It is absolutely amazing. Elaine and Jen are absolutely fantastic. They talk about all aspects of tech that you may not have heard of, tech that's good, bad, and indifferent.
I've learned stuff I never thought I'd learn.
I know, they're so
good.
I know,
amazing.
Yeah, and their bonus content is absolutely incredible. It's For Tech's Sake, it's on the Headstuff Podcast Network, and this is a little clip.
Is AI taking over?
How can I be safe online?
Will big tech go bust?
For Tech's Sake will answer all of these questions and more in its new series.
I'm Elaine Burke.
And I'm Jenny Darmody.
And we're back with more experts to help you be a more informed and empowered tech user.
For Tech's Sake is a co-production from Silicon Republic and the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Do we have a follow-up? Let's move on. You're freaking me out now.
Okay, we do have a follow-up. This is why I love our listeners.
Okay, go on.
Right?
Then.
We have a follow-up from Deirdre. Deirdre says, hi, Garode, hope you're well. I am just listening to the pod, to the ep where the guy living in the USA has had to pay for his mom's funeral and is now asking for advice, which we haven't got a follow-up from him. So, like, get back in touch.
Yeah,
like,
I'd love to hear.
Bated breath.
We
want to know how this went. One thing we discovered when my dad passed last year, and sorry about that, Deirdre, is that if there is a credit union, most credit unions have a policy that allows for a funeral to be paid.
Did you know that?
I didn't, but I do now. It's insurance and they take out for each credit union account holder. It is extra benefit to what is in the accounts. So it is worth checking out if there is a credit union account. We were surprised by it, but it was in place for us. Just said to with you. What?
She's just letting us
just
know.
Just said I would let you know.
Okay. That's it, yeah.
Jesus, Deirdre, the wheels come off that at the end.
Deirdre, you are so good to write in about
that. Yeah,
that's
amazing. That's great. That's great information.
There are like millions of people all over Dublin and Ireland now looking at their credit union accounts. And not only that, tomorrow, after this podcast goes out, there'll be hundreds and hundreds of people going into the credit union saying, I want to open an account.
I remember there was something.
Do I get my funeral paid for?
With a credit union account that if you died while you were a member, now this could be wrong, but I was a volunteer.
I think if you say it on this podcast, it becomes true.
Yeah, I was a volunteer teller.
Go on
in
then.
The credit union.
Oh, is that a thing?
I'm telling you, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. You can be a volunteer. Oh. I was a cashier.
Wow, well, I bet you were.
God, I was, yeah. Denied.
So what was it you were going to say?
It was that if somebody died while they had a credit union account, that you could get, I think it was triple what's in your account.
Wow.
It was insurance, but there's...
Don't get me wrong. Every time I speak to my mother, she talks about her credit union account.
Credit union is amazing.
All right, okay.
And also, do you know what the good thing I heard about credit unions is? Apparently nobody enters the car competition.
That's like the...
Yeah. So the competition, people win it. Like, so people, like, it's basically, well, I think they take like £100 out of your account every year to enter this car competition. And my sister didn't realize. She did it once and then was like, oh, I'm not doing that anymore, and didn't realize. And then they rang her, you've won the car.
No.
Yeah, she won the car. Well, she didn't take the car. She took 10 grand. I'm telling you. That's what I should do. Hedge me bets. I'm not buying a car. No, I'm entering the credit union car competition.
Just enter all the car competitions everywhere.
I'm going to do.
Anyway, Deirdre, thanks for letting us know.
Thank you for that, Deirdre. That's incredible.
That's brilliant.
We have a second follow-up again.
Okay.
Now, this is, Niamh, you read this. This is a great follow-up.
This is very cryptic, but it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's worth sticking with.
This is a follow-up. It's from a couple of weeks ago. If you remember, this was the man who...
discovered his boyfriend was cheating. And then they ended up in the bathroom.
They ended up in a bathroom.
Yeah. Do you remember the toilets? Yeah.
It was... That was an absolute... I remember I got that email and I was in bed.
Yeah.
Like, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning.
And did you check
your
phone?
I was just about to go sleep and my phone went bing. And I read it and I was like, this is absolutely incredible.
It's gold.
So this is a follow-up to that.
Okay. So, again, trying to keep it anon. It says in brackets, so it's probably not really just... Okay.
No, his name is...
Anyway, this is the fella who basically... Yeah. Discovered that his boyfriend was cheating,
yes,
on the apps, and yes, then arranged to meet him in a toilet. Do you remember that?
Yeah, arranged to meet him in a toilet, and there was a, I think, the word showdown.
Oh yeah, it was proper.
This was a proper showdown.
We had a lot to say about this,
and we'd love to say about it at our coffee after the show.
So this is a follow up for this one, which is great. He says, "Well, I'm back again for the follow up as promised. I would like to start off by saying that I didn't realize I'd sent it in twice, and yes, I was sober when writing this out. I've no idea which email it even came from, since the message was quite long. It didn't seem to send from Gmail. So that probably explains why I came to your inbox at 2 a.m. Grod, that's, you know, there's a lot of justification in that sentence, isn't there, really?
I think the lady doth protest too much, but go on.
Up until the point where I had found the app, I wasn't aware of anything or rooting through his phone. So he was annoyed that we said that, I think.
Threw the accusations
I did. Only when I had found it, I started rooting to make sure I wasn't imagining things. Anyway, 2 months on, yes, I am fine. I'm on my revenge era, as I have started to call it. I don't think it was until a week or two later that it had actually hit me, but all is good now. Every so often, I'll remind myself of some of the items I left behind and joke about it with the family. For example, the trifle dishes. Now... Hearing you both get a laugh out of it was so fun to listen to. I was rolling on the floor listening to you. I've listened back at least 5 times the day it came out and sent it to everyone in the family, and they thought it was hilarious too. If this doesn't make it into one of your highlight episodes, I shall be on to you. On the subject of tickets, Vicar Street tickets would be fab. So he wants to see you.
I forgot I gave him tickets. I will actually sort that.
Yeah. Thanks for all the laughs, and you are the most enjoyable part of my Monday drive. All the best.
Again, try to keep it a nod. I think we've done that.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. I think you've achieved that beautifully, I feel. It's a great follow-up, I have to say. And you know, you're right. In some ways, we might assume quite a lot. And I'm glad you've put me straight on that. But the simple truth is... I think at the back of it all, it's never that big of a surprise when you find someone's cheating on you. I think you always kind of know.
Yeah, I think he was able to sniff it out. And I'm glad to hear you're on the mend, because he'd been
through a lot. Stop saying his name.
Oh, fuck.
For God's sake. I wouldn't say for the record.
I think that this has to be a record. I don't think I've ever said somebody's name more. Might get you to edit that one, Marissa.
Anyway, we're delighted for you, and we can't wait to see you in Vicar Street. I'm going to come to that gig.
Are you?
Well,
no, you've seen it. You saw it in Belfast.
I saw it. It was brilliant. I think I'll be happier in Vicar Street. I'll be with my own tribe.
You'll be with your tribe. Yeah. Indeed.
I'll leave my husband at home, because he kept asking me, what did he say there? It's very hard to explain a joke while a joke is happening. I know. I'm looking forward to it. I like Vicar Street. It's great. When is it on?
16th September.
Okay. I'll just write that down.
16th
there.
September. We'd love to have you. Yeah, we'll be there. Fuck! Niamh, we have a problem.
Oh, thank you. Well, you really do.
What is wrong with me? Anyway, dear Niamh and Garrod, I have a problem and I'm certain you are the dynamic duo that can help me with it. I'm a primary school teacher and I started a new job last September. I had previously been working in a school for 7 years and liked it, but I was moving house so the commute wouldn't make sense.
Okay, so she moved jobs.
So she moved jobs.
Sensible.
I started in September and went on maternity leave in January.
Proper teacher.
Well done.
Proper teacher behaviour there.
That is proper teacher, yeah.
Loving it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what we like. Rinse it. I'm on my first day, I was introduced to a special needs assistant who appeared to take an instant dislike to me.
Oh.
Did she indeed?
Yeah.
I found her difficult from the very start, but they seem to have built the school around her.
Oh.
I guess that means that she's been there a long time.
A long time, I'd say.
Okay. I have only had a few interactions with her, but I found her absolutely horrible. She was hostile, and when I was leaving at Christmas for maternity, she made a point of telling me that she hadn't signed my card.
Oh. Keep it in. Keep the outrage in.
That's deranged. Okay. She just seems to be allowed to run riot, and I know the teacher that she is with currently has
previously
had a horrible time and even went to the principal about her bullying. I have just put the phone down and been told that when I go back in September, she will be the SNA for a student in my class.
Oh my God. Go on.
I'm actually really upset about it. I feel it will be hard enough going back and leaving my daughter with a childminder without having to deal with someone like her. I know I'm going to obsess over this craziness for the whole summer and I don't know what to do. I'd love some advice. Also, Garrod, if you're free in September, I'd love if you could sit in my classes. That is absolutely no problem. I'm clearing the diary. Love to know your thoughts, Joyce.
Not my real name. Okay. So at least she's been kind. She's given us a name.
She's given us a name.
That you can use, right?
That I can use. So we can say Joyce.
As much as you like.
As much as you like.
Right, okay. Go on. Where do you stand?
Where do I stand? I'm boiling with rage. Because for a start, this is somebody who not only is bullying.
Yes.
But is actually quite proud of the effect that she has on other people.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason at all to tell somebody that you haven't signed their card.
No.
Apart from wanting to upset them or to destabilize them or make them feel a little bit weird about the situation. And she is also running riot in that school and there's nobody that's willing to or able to stand up to her.
Yeah, I know.
Kill it with fire.
Flamethrower.
Burn it, put it out with a shovel.
Yeah.
Well, I have no patience for this.
I know you don't.
At all.
I know where you are. Yeah, I mean, your heckles were up immediately. I could see it.
What I will say is, right, I would say that don't even engage with this. Now, I know this is kind of like the carer's way or the loser's way or whatever, but I would say whack the CV out because you are not going to be in the frame of mind
To deal with that
in September. No. You're just not. And also, you're kind of in a good position as well because you were only in that school September to Christmas. Am I right?
Yeah.
Started last September, had a baby at Christmas.
Yeah, she went on maternity leave in January.
So, yeah. So these are, like, it's not like you formed lifelong
deep
friendships
and meaningful
in the four months that you were there. 16 weeks.
No point in making yourself feel sick over the next few months. I can totally,
no.
I don't get it, but it's not that easy sometimes. And this time of year, it's quite difficult to get jobs. She might be already.
Is this
late.
Not when they're all looking?
Well, yes and no. I think people are already interviewing from the beginning of the year. They know how their staff is going next year.
Yeah.
But I will say this, right? You are also in a unique position. It depends on how you feel. I mean, it's difficult after having babies because your hormones are up to the left anyway. Let's be honest, right? Well, you won't know.
Yeah, exactly. Hormones are high after having a baby. It's
very
almost
difficult.
Like
you're
could get away with a murder.
Yeah. But also, she doesn't know you. So you need to go in and treat her like a toddler, like a bold toddler in the corner. She is not the boss of you because that's your class.
That is the point. Like,
the
if
thing
you can
is,
do that, great.
But the best way to deal with people like that is to neutralize their effect. So basically, let her get on with whatever she thinks she's doing over there. Ignore her. Ignore her behavior. And if she comes to you with something, you know, start as you mean to go on. She is nothing to do with you. You see all that's going on with her? That's all about her. Nothing to do with you. It's not personal. She can make it personal. She make you feel that it's personal, but it's not actually personal.
Okay.
This is about her.
She's just a cow.
She is a cow. Yeah. And she thinks she owns it because she's there from the beginning. And, you know, this is the way we've always done it. So this is the way we're going to do it. And I'm going to make your life hell while we do it because I'm not a teacher, but you are.
Yeah. And you see, I always, like, I've loads of friends that are teachers and I have relatives that are teachers. Mm. And I always feel that from everything I hear, the HR practices in schools are an absolute mess. Because, teaching a class for 20 years does not suddenly equip you to dealing with the HR.
No.
For, you know, 30 teachers. No. Like, it just doesn't. So I always feel that principals are very weak.
But you know what's really interesting weak about on this stuff? Clearly, you know, they'd be very strong on bullying in schools when it comes to kids.
Yeah.
But we know who this girl is, woman is. We know this woman. We've all worked with someone like this.
Yeah, we have.
Who are hating on you because you're doing what she wants.
And do you know what the sad reality is?
Yeah.
The sad reality with these people are if they affect you, like if they get in.
Yeah, it's really hard.
They kind of always win.
Yeah, they do.
Because even when they don't technically win, or you have a complaint that's upheld against them or something like that, they're still there. Have taken your time for
and your energy
for however long it takes, and then also there's all of that stuff afterwards where you feel, you know, it's like a piece of your history with
and
that
you carry
company.
It but you carry it everywhere you go because they hurt you,
and that's why
they
I would
maim
say
you. It's like a scar.
It is. It's an emotional scar.
It is a scar, and the difficulty. So that's all very difficult. So. I'd
get
say
out.
This choice.
You don't need this.
No,
I really
don't
think you need this choice. I would say what to do is try and do.
See if you can find a different job. But now, to be fair, she's got this obviously because it makes sense for where she is. And let's be honest here, right? You know, people need to work and they need to be doing their thing, right? That's, you know.
Yeah.
So, and why should she be the one to leave?
Yeah.
I mean, I get what you're saying and I think it's sensible. So if it's a viable option for you, you know, and it would work okay for you to be moving, absolutely wholeheartedly agree. Do not accept it. But if you're stuck with the situation, because we don't all have, we're not all self-employed like we are. And we make a lot of decisions based on whether we like something or we don't. You don't always, make that decision. You know, we all work with agents as well, right? But you're not always free to make that decision. Not to mention, it's a lot of energy to find a new job. And she's literally just had a baby. She's already dealing with the trauma of leaving her baby.
But the other side of it is that because she's done it, it should give her confidence she could do it again.
Yes, without a doubt. But the other thing is, even if it doesn't happen immediately, you're planning your escape. So she can't hurt you.
Yes.
Plan for next year. If you can't do it now, if you don't have the energy for it now, just act as if she's not my forever life. So move on. It's amazing. You take power away from them really fast.
Maybe what she should do is, you should also leave your cards on the table.
Yeah, I would be very direct. I would meet her beforehand
as in go to your principal.
Yeah.
And just go, I've only been in the school for 4 months. From what I've seen, she runs right around the place.
She's a hot mess.
She makes everybody's lives difficult. And she's coming into my class and I would like a steer on how best to manage this.
And they have to give it to you.
Yeah.
In this day and age, they have to be supportive of you as a worker. And if she has given you any jip.
Yeah.
Document it.
Yeah.
And absolutely hit her hard with it. But I appreciate that it's very hard not to rise to things.
Yeah.
And actually, when you're in a class, you want somebody working with you, not against you.
Completely.
You know what I mean?
Especially in front of kids as well. Kids that are supposed to respect you.
Is she the only SNA in your class, I wonder?
Yeah, she doesn't say.
Yeah.
I mean, what way does that work? Can it depend more than one?
If you have sometimes you have a classroom assistant, so they're the whole class. But if this is someone assigned, is obviously assigned, I think it says.
It's a special needs assistant.
It's a special needs assistant. So she's assigned to a specific case.
Okay.
So it'll be a specific child.
So maybe I wonder then is...
there might be another classroom assistant in.
So is the child coming into her class? So is the special needs assistant comes with the child?
They're probably assigned the hours. Yeah, so she's probably working directly with that. But the reality is they're coming to manage the behaviour of one person in that class. They should not affect the rest of the class.
Yeah.
You know, and certainly not and you.
It's definitely a case of... start as you mean to go on with her, like put your stake in the ground
without
early.
A doubt.
And also what I wouldn't do is I wouldn't even attempt to strike up any sort of casual friendship or sort of relationship, but I would just be really clear about what your expectations are from her and
be polite but absolutely not warm,
and also let her know when
and
she,
not warm
not warm
yeah so you can
not
be polite and professional and go and deal with her as if she's another child in the class. So if she's misbehaving, you document it. You speak to her about it afterwards. Don't embarrass her in front of it.
Go.
Don't forget this is your class.
And it's a very hard situation as well, because you know the way sometimes if you're just not, you know, there's days you go into work and you're like, you haven't done, you know, you're not as prepared as you want to be. You're not as, you know, they're just like, they're
and you know someone like that's going to pounce on
you. It's your average Tuesday.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You just, you know, it's a bit like, oh, I haven't done, you know, just wing this or I'll, you know, and the last thing you need is to have to deal with somebody that's going to pull it up on all of this stuff. Yeah. It's very difficult.
But I would definitely be planning my escape if you don't think you're going to get the support you want.
Go to your principal about this.
Be very direct.
If it's bothering you now, go to your principal.
Yeah.
Have a cup of coffee and thrash it out. And then you have to let it go for the summer.
Yeah. Oh, let it go.
Because.
Enjoy your summer.
The end of your maternity leave. Enjoy your summer.
Deal with the job in front of you, which is basically learning how to get used to being away from your baby. Because that's really hard. I know. I know it is very hard, but actually you'll be delighted. And what you want the alternative to be joyful while you do it.
Yeah. And what to do is the first day of September, say you're a little bit fragile because you're away from your baby for the first time. And the first utterance of dissent from that special needs assistant, you take a hammer out of your handbag and you leave it on the desk. Just go, any more questions? Anything else you want to talk about? Because I'm deranged today. I'm absolutely deranged and I really don't know what I'm going to do.
Is this where I do my usual disclaimer? Don't do what Grode says.
All I'm saying is...
No, I know. Exactly right.
Strike first. Instill fear.
First day.
Day one.
You need to book Grode in for the first day.
I mean, I would. That's the sort of situation I would love. You know, like one of those like hidden camera shows where you're in a situation like that and then you've got like a microphone and they've got an earpiece?
Mm.
That's what I'd love. Take the fire extinguisher choice.
Swing the fire extinguisher. We have another problem.
We have another problem, Niamh.
I'm going to read this one.
You read this one. This is from Michael. This is actually very sweet.
It is very sweet. It's a lovely opening.
And Michael, we're going to fix this.
OMG, I'm loving this podcast. And I want to say Niamh Kavanagh, Queen of Ireland, being an absolute ice queen delivering the Irish votes was incredible. I can't say it the way it's supposed to be. There's a lot of U's in it. the absolute shade. We were absolutely here for it. I was very polite to Sonia, I felt. Was that?
You were very polite, yeah, but the shade was evident. Yeah, very evident.
It's what it's all about, isn't it? So, obviously, love, 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 love your podcast. I really enjoy listening to other people's problems and didn't think I would be writing with my own problem, but here goes. I have been single for quite some time, actually single since before the pandemic. You're not unique there, I feel. Last year, I had a couple of dalliances.
He wrote a few people and he didn't know their names.
Loving Michael.
That's what that translates
as. I'm loving Michael.
Yeah, we love it.
But nothing worth pursuing. In January, I started using the dating apps and I really am putting the work in, but nothing. They take up a lot of my spare time, but I feel if you're not in, you can't win. But I'm not meeting anyone from them. I don't know why, but I'm really reluctant to go on first dates. I feel like the apps are taking up all of my time, but I've never dated less. I've felt unhappy about my body image for quite some time, but I haven't taken steps to change anything yet. Grode knows about shredding, so he's going to do a shredding course.
Going very well.
I know I need to. The positive side is that I have made lots of friends on the dating apps and I chat to them regularly. I'm 32 and I'm surprised that I'm feeling so down on myself. I definitely would like to get my mojo back. Looking forward to some words of wisdom, Michael.
Michael. I did have a look at Michael. Michael, you look fantastic.
Okay.
He does look great. So like...
Yeah, but you could be like the most beautiful person on the planet.
And still
but if you're
body,
not feeling it, you know, you have to be able to see it. And you know, how many people though are body confident and you think, well, what do they look confident about? But they're right to be. You know, the thing you know, you have to learn to... That's a learn to love yourself thing, isn't it? But, you know, it's quite difficult. There's always bits we don't like.
It's about the...
Isn't it?
It's about your mental approach to these things.
It is.
My mental approach is that I'm on a shred, but I'm also not on a shred.
No, you're not.
I'm just mentally on a shred.
You're mentally. You're saying, I'm dealing with this, which gives you energy.
Yeah.
And whatever. But actually, you're not doing anything.
When all of the evidence is completely to the contrary. But it does make me feel good because I feel I'm putting the work in, but I'm also having that brownie.
Yeah, and you really did because I watched you. But
Niamh, actually, do you know what? Before we go on any further on this, I actually feel very let down by the fact that you refused a brownie this morning.
I did. Well,
I just felt I wasn't supported.
I'm sorry. Next time, I'll actually bring I'll bake some brownies.
Are you going to bake?
I am.
Niamh makes a great brownie.
I do.
At some point, we should have some sort of a competition where we send one of, like, a Niamh Cavanagh brownie out, because, like, the combination of chocolate to moistness.
It's
spectacular. But anyway, on to Michael. I'm sure this isn't helping.
Michael, this won't help Michael.
Michael's now looking for the perfect brownie.
My take on this is, I think you're enjoying your life on the apps. And I'll tell you why. You're filling your time there because you can chat away with people, but there's no commitment involved. I don't think you want a commitment. I don't think you want to even go out and date. I think you're quite happy where you are. You've got used to being on your own. It's not necessarily long term for you. You're only 32, for God's sake. Go out and enjoy your time. We all are ate up by our phones. I don't think any of us are more than 3 centimeters away from our phone at any given moment. And how many hours are lost to the Insta reels or to the, you know, and so you get sucked into that a little bit. And so, you know, you go onto the app and I don't know how it works, but, you know, because I mean, I've been with my husband for 25 years and there was no dating apps when I was starting.
It's putting out in the paper.
Yeah, it was like, you know, I had to find him on the side of the road.
Eurovision winner seeks man who can play guitar.
Yeah, you know, if you don't have a guitar, you're no use to me. But actually, to be fair, you know, what happens is you're kind of meeting new people. So you get that new hit and that getting to know you, you know, that whole thing that goes on, you know, and that's very exciting. And you get to be whoever you want to be for that short period of time. And that's what you're experiencing. You're not actually, you're enjoying that little hit. Yeah. And so that means that you don't actually have to make an effort to get dressed even.
Yeah, exactly.
And we all understand that, right? But absolutely. I'm going to get a little, you know, a little tough mother love here and say to Michael, if you really want to meet someone, or more importantly, you know, that's one issue. But actually, I don't think that's what you're asking us. What you want is permission to love yourself. Do you like that? Do you like that?
Oh, that's nice, Niamh.
No, and the truth is, that's what you need to do now. You need to think about, you have to get up every morning and say at least 2 things that you love about yourself, and then have a wish. 2 stars and a wish, as they used to say in the primary school. 2 stars and a wish. So you do 2 things that are lovely about you, and then 1 thing you'd like to improve.
We're coming to something completely different there.
Where were you going on that?
Well, when you said say 2 things you love about yourself and then have a, and I don't go say wank, not wish. That's like, that's an incredible start to the morning.
You could also do that. That would show love.
Self-love.
You would feel good. So, but what I'm saying is, I think the biggest problem we have singularly now among every single person on the planet is we start from a negative place. We start with a thing we don't like about ourselves, or we start with a thing that we don't like about our lives. We start, but there's lots of great things that are happening. And I think that's, you know, one thing at a time.
That's your journey for self-love. But I think you've kind of got mixed up here, right? Because dating apps are for dating. And Michael, you're treating them like they're social media.
Yeah, yeah.
Which they're not. They're not like chat social rooms. Media is kind of a cultural thing. Yeah. Date naps are a tool.
Sorry.
I'm not wrong. Am I wrong?
No, Marissa, you're right.
Nodded. Marissa nodded. Marissa's approval. It's all I need. Okay. It's everything I need in the world.
Yeah, you're right. Date naps are a tool.
No, but they are a tool. Like,
the
you're,
process.
You're treating them like they're WhatsApp. These people are not your friends.
No, they're there to try and meet people.
Potential partners or boyfriends or dating partners. They're not, if they're friends, they're friends, but take them into another area of your life.
What you're really loving is the fact that you're meeting these new people all the time. You're not committing to first dates. So what's happening is you don't have to realize you can be anything you like in those meeting moments.
And you're putting out your photographs that are the best angles.
Yeah, but it's quite addictive that, you know, you create this whole persona and you get this lovely hit from it, but there's no actual physical commitment there. And there's also no long-term commitment.
What he needs to do is you need to start going out
on
dates with the people that you're chatting to. If you're chatting to somebody on a date app,
you should be making an effort.
It's like, are you going to move this onto a date? If you are, then do that.
Yeah.
If not, stop talking to them.
Yeah, because they need to move on too.
Because because you're wasting each other's time. And I'm not saying that you can't be friends with them.
Yeah.
But don't be logging into Hinge and then going, oh, here's, you know, whoever, this person that at some point we've decided we're never going to date, but we're going to be friends. Like, don't talk to those people. You're there to meet people to see if there's a romantic, if you're going to go forward and have a romantic connection.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, right, a first date is something that you can really plan for.
Like,
Like, with a first date, you can plan the things you want to say. You can plan.
Yeah.
You can plan absolutely everything. It can be a completely, from your part, you can choreograph that as much as you need
to
for
feel comfortable.
Your own confidence.
Yeah. Getting out there is difficult. You know, it is difficult. Jesus, if something happened to Paul tomorrow, I don't know what the hell I'd do. I think I'd just live alone.
I know exactly
I'd
what
I'd
do.
I'd get a cat, probably.
I'd be back out there.
Oh, you'd be back out.
I would be back out there.
I wouldn't have to go back out. I'd just have a whole community looking after me. It wouldn't be a lot of sex in it for me, but it'd be amazing. I'd be well looked after. I could just move.
She'd have a lot of male attention.
I'd have a lot of male attention, but it wouldn't be the right kind.
Not the right kind.
But what I'm saying is, you know, the point is, I know it's difficult. And
it is difficult.
It is difficult. But I think because you're looking for reasons why this is not happening, I think you're just enjoying the hit from the chats. Maybe come off the apps for a while and go out and meet people.
Yeah.
Because I think you've probably got out of the habit of that.
I think that there are people that you are chatting to now that are taking up your time. So you need to go ask them on dates. If the dates aren't happening, stop talking to them.
Yeah.
So I made a list of like what you should do for first dates, right?
Okay,
I did a bit of work. Plan the stories you want to tell. Pre-write your acceptance or rejection texts. So have them written. So if it goes well or it doesn't go well, just have that, just so that you kind of go, you finish the date, the next day you're like, I'm not into this anymore. Just your pre-prepared rejection text, send that to them. Because I mean, what? Like, don't.
No, I think it's yet.
You know,
okay.
Plan an out.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you like them, you don't want to ride them on the first day because, no, you know.
It's bad etiquette.
It's bad. It's trampy. Or if you don't like them, again, you have your out.
You need to have someone and get out of jail card.
Exactly. And as I said, body image, I've done a deep dive.
Yeah, I'm sure you look fabulous.
You look great.
The thing is, you're not seeing what other people are seeing.
Exactly. It's all in your head. So what you need to do is you need to just plan, like, because the thing about it is, as soon as you go on a first date,
yeah,
it's easy to go on a second date or another first date.
Yeah. You just need to jump off that cliff. Just stop this now. not a cliff, but you know.
See, this is why we're not professionals.
Just don't stop hesitating.
Like a proper therapist,
I know.
Would never say.
I think it's Bible what I said there. You know, I think you need to
no,
stop.
No, you are right. It's kind of like that thing of look, man, no hands.
Yeah, it is a little bit, and then it's not easy, you know. But the thing is, you've got to be thinking about beyond what you're doing. You're just doing it for the hit now. It's great, but actually, it's there's no future in it for you. No, there isn't.
I feel like you're very bleak today.
I know, I'm not being bleak. I'm just being honest. You're just chatting to people. If you want to chat to people on social media.
Neve took her painkiller before we did the recording. It's starting to wear off now. So she's like, just throw yourself off a cliff.
I didn't say to throw off a cliff.
There's nothing to be gained from this, Michael.
No, there's nothing to be gained from just chatting to people online. You know, there's a lot of that goes on. So if that's what you want to do, you find the right place to do it. Don't do it on a date nap because other people are genuinely looking.
Yeah,
to meet people,
and you're wasting
and
your own
fair.
Time.
And you're wasting your own time, and what lovely energy, and you're cheating them out of how fabulous you could be with them.
Exactly, Michael, and we want to hear the dating stories.
Oh, we do.
Because we're both off the market.
Yeah, I know.
We just love to hear about the excitement, live vicariously through our listeners.
I am so out of, every time I come in, I say to Marissa, you're young and fabulous. You know, why have you not got a great story to tell me about your life?
Marissa's been to HR 3 times about bullying. But we're in a process. We're in a process.
I've only had 2 warning letters. No, but seriously, Michael, you need to get out and enjoy a physical date. And it might be terrible, but it also might be amazing.
Exactly.
So go for it.
Neve, it's been fantastic to talk to you.
Oh, thanks.
As always. Agonyrants@gmail.com if you would like to get in touch. If you are enjoying the show,
yeah.
For the love of God, sign up to Head Stuff
for
Plus.
For God's sake.
We're getting raps on Knuckles.
I know.
I think that's why Marissa's in.
She's like
a little rat in the camp now.
I know.
So she's just feeding everything back. Like, what's going on? What have they talking about?
I know. Grode needs...
I mean, is the show professional?
Grode needs help.
So we would love if you would support us. And also, do you know how else you could support us? If you are enjoying the show, tell somebody who might not otherwise hear about us.
Yes.
Because that always helps too.
Give us a little review on...
Review us where you listen to us. Rate, review. And we'll chat to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.